Now, a new law set to take effect next month is meant to regulate storing and disposing of firefighting foam that contains some harmful chemical compounds known as PFAS. Except we don't have rules yet that actually define how this law should be implemented. As reported in the Wisconsin State Journal, industry groups and Republican lawmakers were able to get the Natural Resources Board to delay setting up those regulations. Chris Hubbeck covers energy and the environment for the Wisconsin State Journal. Chris, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks, Rob. Happy to be here.
Before we get to this law and these rules in the works, Chris, can you remind us why people are worried about these chemical compounds called PFAS?
Sure. These are a group of thousands. I think there's more than 4,000 different varieties of these compounds that are fluorinated, highly fluorinated, man-made compounds that have special properties that make them both attract and repel water, and so they make they're really good at creating surface tension, and so these give us products like Teflon and Gore-Tex and Scotchgard, and they make really good foam that can coat oil and prevent it from burning or stop it from burning. The problem is that it turns out that these chemicals are essentially impossible to destroy. They just persist in the environment and accumulate in our bodies, and they've been linked to some health problems, including cancer, reproductive system problems, immune system problems. And so we're now trying to sort of reckoning with the fact that we've filled the environment with them over the last 50 or so years.
So here we have this firefighting foam and this bipartisan law about the storage and disposal. Can you talk about the law that set up this debate over the rules that'll implement the law?
Yeah, it was a bill introduced by Senator Robert Coles, a Republican from Green Bay, and Rep. John Nygren, Republican from Marinette. Marinette being home of Tyco Fire Products, which manufactured a lot of this foam, tested it there, and has some of the worst PFAS groundwater contamination in the state, and it's been a real issue to try and clean it up. And there's a lot of people there drinking bottled water because their wells are contaminated. So the law was introduced last year. It had pretty good support from both industry groups and environmental groups. Environmental groups and the DNR both thought it didn't go far enough, but figured it was a good first step. Industry groups seemed content with it because it didn't seem to be too burdensome in terms of regulation or cost. And it was a pretty narrow in scope. It basically says you can't use firefighting foam that contains these PFAS except in two circumstances. One, if there's an emergency, something's on fire, you can put it out, or you can test it, but only in approved facilities with approved containment and disposal techniques. The problem is the law doesn't spell out what is approved for those. And so this is a case of the devil in the details. Now it falls to the administration to come up with the particular rules to define that.
And so here's the DNR saying, okay, we'll write those rules. They did it. What did they write? And why did some of those same groups say, yeah, no, we don't like that?
So the main sticking point seems to be in the limits the law is pretty clear. It says you can't dispose of foam in a storm or sanitary sewer. You can't flush it down the drain. And the reason is that when it goes to a sewage treatment plant, they have no real way to treat it. It just cycles back into the sludge that we then spread on farm fields. And so it then finds its way back into our groundwater, into crops and the environment. But the sticking point seems to be in the numeric standards that the DNR suggested for how much PFAS can remain in the effluent or the wastewater. And they're very low, even below the proposed drinking water standards from the Department of Health Services, which the DNR is in the process of trying to establish groundwater and drinking water standards in a different rulemaking process. But so in those recommendations are a combined 20 parts per trillion for two of the main compounds that we know the most about, PFOA and PFOS. In the rules that were proposed for this law, the limits were down around, you know, for some of these like one or two parts per trillion. And so industry groups said, whoa, wait a minute. You don't have the authority to do this for one, and two, where's your justification for making these super low limits, which are below even what we've recommended for drinking water?
Talking to Chris Hubbock from the Wisconsin State Journal about PFAS chemicals, a new state law regulating their use and disposal in one product, firefighting foam, and why that rulemaking process is up in the air. So what happens now, Chris? There are these objections. The DNR had to back off on these rules. So what happens next?
It's a great question. The DNR essentially said, okay, you know, fine, we'll go. We're happy to meet with whoever. We'll sit down with the industry groups. This is largely Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, and a couple of other, the Food Products Association, who are sort of spearheading this. I think they're going to sit down and talk about it and maybe try and come up with some sort of compromise solution, perhaps try and come up with a more clear justification for how they got to these numeric standards, you know, basically showing their work, if you will. The issue, though, is that the law takes effect September 1. The Natural Resources Board isn't scheduled to meet again until September 22nd. So essentially, we're probably going to have a law take effect, but without a lot of the particulars defined. And so, you know, I guess that that creates some problems potentially for enforcement.
Now, so the law imposed these, you know, these guidelines, and the DNR was supposed to put these rules and set the numbers into effect. Do they? I guess there's a legal argument here. Do they have the authority to do this, or do they not? As Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce says,
it depends on who you ask. the industry groups sort of point to this 2011 law, Act 21, that in which the legislature largely tried to strip away a lot of sort of discretionary authority from the administration, and essentially says that agencies cannot create rules that aren't explicitly don't have powers that aren't explicitly given to them by the legislature. So in other words, if the legislature didn't tell them, hey, you need to set these limits at a particular place, then the groups say that this law prohibits that. This is a law that's still being fought over in the courts. Most recently, in the lawsuit against the Evers administration and Health Secretary Palm, that case had some bearing on that Act 21.
All right, a lot to watch out for over the next month, Chris. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, it's my pleasure, Rob. Thank you.
Chris Hubbock is an energy and environment reporter for the Wisconsin State Journal. He joined us today to talk about the development of rules for regulating PFAS chemicals in wastewater.